fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I hope you're having a start of good morning, friends. I want to continue talking about the message that Jesus puts at the center of the church's mission and evangelization. So it should be also at the center of the new evangelization, which is what I'm touching on this week. What are some of the fundamentals of the new evangelization? And really the first is, what's the message? The new evangelization is proclaiming the good news again to the de-Christianized. That is, people who have been baptized and for one reason or another have walked away from the faith, drifted away from the faith, are indifferent, are not living in the way Jesus has called them to. That's a very large and growing number of people. So the church is concerned that we start there, that we re-evangelize those who have fallen away and no longer are following Christ. Maybe they've been catechized, not evangelized. Maybe they've been sacramentalized, not evangelized. Those terms may not mean a whole lot to you, but really what it is I think what we've discovered, what we're seeing very clearly in many places in the church is that the centerpiece of conversion, the centerpiece of becoming a Christian is to become a consciously and freely become a follower of Jesus Christ, to really decide to come into a relationship with Jesus through his grace, through hearing the proclamation of the gospel, having encountered Christ in a personal way, to understand his call in our lives, that he calls us to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. And the great privilege of having found in Jesus the pearl of great price, really the happiness of our lives, and now him moving from maybe the periphery of my life or in some corner of my life to the very center of my life. Jesus is now the reason why I'm alive. I understand now why I'm alive. Jesus reveals to me the entire purpose of my life. He's not just a counselor or a guru who comes and gives us some tips about how to live a highly effective life or how to live a happy life in this world. Jesus is the Savior of the human race. Colossians tell us all things were made for him, all things were made by him. He designed you. He designed me. He's the one through whom we come into being and into existence. He's the one who knows absolutely and perfectly the reason we are on this planet. And it's from him that flows the dignity and the confidence and the security of being a son of God that ought to flow into our hearts so we can be sons and daughters of God, living in this world as light to the world, living in this world with tremendous confidence and security. He knows how difficult that is, but the secret to that security, the secret to that identity, the knowledge of our destiny, the grounding in an unshakable purpose comes in our relationship with Jesus, on a relationship that really has to be lived out, friends, on his terms, not our terms. Jesus calls us into relationship and we respond to it. We don't call him into relationship. We respond to what he's doing. He's the Lord, the Master. He's the one who brings us into freedom. We don't bring him into freedom. He's the one who reveals to us the meaning and the destiny of our lives, which we're searching for all the time. Everybody in the world, in one way or another, is searching for it. But there's only one place to find it. It's in the heart and the mind of the designer, the one who gave us this purpose and plan. And part of his plan and his call on the church, he's called the church into being itself, into existence, this communion of sinners in Christ, of fallen men and women who've been, by God's mercy, have received the forgiveness of sins, have been touched by the love of God that's poured forth in Jesus Christ, and now are commissioned individually and corporately to enter into the world and be a light to the world through the proclamation of the gospel. Both what we say and what we do, through our actions, through witness, and through proclamation, this is what we're called to do. And the recent bishops, popes, they've all exhorted us time and again to engage in this new evangelization. And it's very important for the new evangelization, if it's going to have any clear fruit, is to understand what's the message of the new evangelization. And in very simple terms, I touched yesterday with where the clarity about the message began. You can look in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus in Luke's account with the apostles when he interprets for them his dying and his rising. And he said very simply that his death on Calvary was not a tragic loss. It was not plan B. It was plan A. And he came to die. He came to become a sacrifice for sin. That's really what Jesus came to do. In becoming a sacrifice for sin, he destroyed sin's power. So Jesus had his gaze fixed on destroying sin's power. Sin is a power. It's a powerfully disordering power. St. Paul talks about it as the reign of sin. It can dominate our lives and dominate our hearts. And Jesus came to break that dominance. Because in sinning, we say yes to the dark side. You might say to the kingdom of darkness. And we become slaves to this, the demonic powers that are ruling much of this world. And Jesus came to break that hold so that we could find our freedom and our destiny. And so he told the apostles, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. So it was God's plan that the Son would die and rise again. So at the center of what the apostles are witnessing, that which they will now proclaim, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that he has literally passed from death to life. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Very important. Look at this is the culmination moment of Jesus right after the resurrection with the apostles. And he was building toward this moment. So this is of utmost importance what he's saying to them. He's saying that what should be preached is what? That first of all, a preaching and a witnessing should happen. You're going to be sent forth to tell the truth about Jesus' dying and rising. And then to say, what's the purpose of it? How should we respond to this? What does it have to do with me? And what it has to do with me is the one who's risen, who's now the Lord of all, who has all power and authority, is offering you something. He's offering you a share in what belongs to him. And what's that? Existence beyond death. The new creation. A participation in his glory. Sharing in the joy of heaven. The life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The power of an indestructible life. Jesus is offering that to everyone. But it comes on his terms. It's not just a generic cover. Everybody's covered just living and doing whatever they want. Jesus said, no, you have to come out of the reign of sin and come under my reign. There needs to be a transformation, a transfer of kingdoms. But I can't do that for you. I can give you the power to do it if you say yes to me. So he's very clear to the apostles that what you need to do is offer repentance, that is, change the direction of your life now, call people to repentance so that they can have their sins forgiven. Your sins are forgiven when you say yes to Jesus and his diagnosis about the condition of your heart, the sin-sick condition of your life, and then the fact that you need salvation and redemption. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's just a fact. So they're commissioned now to go forth to offer the forgiveness of sins in his name. That's so important. There is no other name under heaven, St. Peter will tell us later, by which man can be saved. Only through Jesus Christ. Because he's the only Savior. He's the one who died on Calvary. He's the only one who is both God and man. He's God's beloved Son. No one else can save. Buddha can't save. Muhammad can't save. You know, Hollywood can't save you. Your bank account can't save you. Your yoga can't save you. Nothing else can bring you what Christ is offering, and that is the forgiveness of your sins. It's a gift of mercy. It's something God gives to us freely to those who turn to him. And of course, as I mentioned yesterday, Jesus said, now I'm going to send the promise of the Father upon you. He will clothe you with power, and then you'll be my witnesses. So we covered yesterday the day of Pentecost when all that Jesus said and did was fulfilled, and the apostles waited as Jesus commanded them to wait. The Holy Spirit came upon them and indeed clothed them with power, and they went forward and they proclaimed this very message. They said, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's exalted in glory. All power and authority belong to him now. And as they preached, the Spirit of the Lord that had clothed them with power began to stir the listeners. The Holy Spirit is the first missionary. He's the first one who was sent by the Father and the Son to extend this mission in throughout the world. And he's the one, the Holy Spirit, and without the work of the Holy Spirit, our words fall to the ground. But our words are not our own words when we speak what Jesus calls us to speak. The Holy Spirit will back those words, and it's the special mission of the Spirit to reveal to every human heart the truth about the victory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. So Peter that day called them. He said, repent, that is, change the direction of your life. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. There is a definition of Christianity. There's the essence of what the church exists to do. So Peter spoke that day to Jews who were being called, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, is the way Jesus spoke about it. And I want to now turn to Acts chapter 10 briefly 10 and 11. This is a great scene. I've talked about it in the past, where this is the conversion of the Gentiles, where the gospel goes now from the Jewish people, where it began, the proclamation of the gospel, to the Gentile world. And the first one it goes to is a man named Cornelius, a Roman soldier, and his entire household. It's a long story that I won't get into. I just want to get into the message that Peter proclaimed to him. It was signs and wonders, essentially, brought these two together. It wasn't right for people under Jewish law for Peter to have fellowship with Gentiles, to enter into their home, to sit down and have a meal. It would make Peter unclean. It would defile him. But God told him to go and to say, don't defile what I myself have called you to do or who I've created. What I call clean, don't you call unclean. So he's sending him now, and Peter speaking to Cornelius. He said, truly, I believe that God shows no partiality, but that in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he is sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, where the baptism of John was preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus is so unique. Jesus is the one anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him manifest. See what Peter's doing? He's testifying to the signs and wonders that Jesus performed. These signs and wonders were testimony of God, of the absolute uniqueness of Christ and his sonship. The Peter said then he went on to proclaim that he was put to death, he was hanged on a tree, and that on the third day, he was made manifest, that he rose. And he goes on to say, we saw him. And then he says here, again, we get to the central message I've been leaning on the last couple of days here, verse 42 of Acts chapter 10, and he commanded us to preach to the people. Okay, what did Jesus command Peter to preach? This is what Peter gives us a peek at. And to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's the exact same thing Jesus told Peter and the apostles. Peter's saying he's not only risen, but what he's told us to proclaim is that he's the one who will judge. He's the one who has authority to determine our ultimate destiny, heaven or hell. He's the one, no one else. No one else's opinion about you matters. No one else has the authority to determine your ultimate destiny. And he goes on to say, and believing in his name, anyone who believes in his name, and that means surrendering your life to him in trust and turning and repenting of your sins and being baptized and coming after Jesus Christ, any person who wants to do that will indeed have their sins forgiven in his name. It's so clear in the apostles' mind. It's not a generic thing. It's not just an emotional or feeling or sentiment that saves us. It's a person who saves us, who has the authority to offer us the gift of salvation if indeed we accept his diagnosis of our life and say yes to him. God bless you, friends. What a wonderful message. Let's take it into our hearts. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.